Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Pro Advocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
And welcome to Pro Advocate Radio with your host James O'Brien and Deb Beecham, founder and director of My Advocate Center. And this is our Memorial Day special, Deb. We got some great guests on with us today. And before I hand it off, I want to thank all you guys for your service. But Deb, introduce our guests. We've got some special ones.
I'm so excited to have you guys here. Thank you for coming in on your time off. So we're going to start with Chris Dorsey with Vets for Kids. And Chris, I found your bio here. So you are a U.S. Army combat veteran, founder of Vets for Kids, and owner at Deep South Woodworkings. So what is Vets for Kids? And welcome.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on this morning. And I'd like to thank Jerry for mentioning us here and getting us on here as well. Vets for Kids is a brand new nonprofit started August of last year here in Georgia, where we're going to take the children of deployed and fallen soldiers and teach them camping and outdoor skills. So there's a lot of times that the kids are kind of not really forgotten, but kind of left out in everyday things that, you know, kids that have their parents there on a regular basis get to enjoy that kids of veterans miss out on.
And yeah, you know, wow,
just camping,
that's awesome.
Making s'mores, putting up a tent, you know, simple things like that.
That's fantastic. How many people do you have working with you?
Right now we have about six that are, you know, volunteering their time and working with us. And we also just partnered up with Bernal University. We're working on a transitional program for veterans that are getting out or have been out, just to help address some issues with that transition from military life to civilian life.
Okay, and what part of town are you based in?
We're based out of Winder, Georgia.
Okay, and that's, where in Georgia is that for our audience?
It's about 12, 15 miles outside of Athens.
Okay.
So it's on the Atlanta side of Athens there.
Okay.
So not too far.
So how many kids and families are you working with now?
Right now we're working to set up our first event for kids, and that's going to be July 17th and 18th. We're hosting a music festival. It's going to be in White County, across from White County High School.
Okay.
And it's called Summer in the Country Music Festival.
Nice.
And we will have our first event where we'll have little booths and stuff set up for kids, and, you know, have some s'mores and other little stations for them to come to.
That's
and
awesome.
Some t-shirts
stuff.
For them and stuff like that. So that'll be our first actual event for kids. And, you know, hopefully we'll branch out and make a lot of good contacts with military family members. And we have some of the guys from the 5th Ranger Training.
Okay.
Brigade going to help us out with that weekend as well.
All right, so awesome. Okay, we'll come back around and ask you a few more questions. And hey, Jerry, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, nice to see you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about North Georgia Veterans.
The North Georgia Veterans Outreach Center is a relatively new nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3 out of Gainesville, Georgia. We service east of the Appalachian Trail to the South Carolina line and north of I-85 to the North Carolina line geographically. Basically, we're a grassroots organization that does everything for veterans that a veteran needs. We will rake leaves, cut grass, paint houses, build ramps, but we also help veterans with resume writing skills, interviewing skills. If a veteran needs help, we're there to help them. If it can be done electronically, we're nationwide. If it's something that we need to do geographically, we kind of limit ourselves to that geographic region.
Yeah. The pictures that I've seen, you realize you guys roll up your sleeves and get out there.
We don't play.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. And we have, Hire Heroes USA. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. So, I think we met on social media through a group of you guys, and I said, you know, this is a nice group. I think they'd enjoy meeting each other in person. And so we appreciate you taking your time to come in. So can you tell us a little bit about Hire Heroes USA?
Well, sure, Debbie. My name is Brian Stan. I'm the CEO of Hire Heroes USA, and we're a national organization that helps veterans get jobs. We not only help veterans, but we also help their spouses through the same exact program. And what we do is all one-on-one. It's a personalized approach to helping them find career opportunities. And how we do that is either electronically or on-base through our two-day workshops. And then, obviously, we never go away from that point. So our process includes an assessment. Then we begin to build a resume, build a value proposition, and teach these service members how to communicate their skill sets effectively, how to search for jobs, how to decipher job descriptions, job requirements, so that they can understand if they are qualified and if they should put the time in to actually apply for those jobs. Then we teach them how to interview, which is something many service members have never done. I graduated from the Naval Academy. I got out of the Marine Corps as a captain. Naval Academy is one of the best institutions you can go to in the world. I had no idea how to write a resume, how to interview for a job. Didn't know where I should apply. I had never done it before. Mm-hmm. Now, 90% of the service members and spouses we work with are your young enlisted service members who are statistically most likely to be long-term unemployed. So 18 to 28 years old, 2 to 3 tours in Iraq, Afghanistan, anywhere from 4 to 8 years in the military. And so their process when they begin to get out is a very difficult one, and we try to reach them about a year before they decide to get out of the service. At that point, if you begin to start actively transitioning out, developing your value proposition, learning how to use LinkedIn and other networking devices so that people in the geographic areas of where you want to move to know that you're looking for work. And then if you can effectively communicate your skill set and understand what it is you're qualified in and certified in, your prospects of getting a job quickly, they skyrocket.
That's fantastic. So you really have the process down, and you can give them some structure and a clear path to go down.
We are the best in the country, and I don't say that arrogantly. I say it honestly. We just are. We have the numbers to prove it. We average over 50 service members a week who are confirmed into family wage jobs. In fact, last week we had 84.
We've got
7 locations nationwide. We're in Seattle, Los Angeles, San Diego, Colorado Springs, Dallas, Texas, Raleigh, North Carolina, Alpharetta, Georgia. And we bring in anywhere from 150 to 180 service members and spouses a week into the program. And we have those locations, but we're nationwide because everybody registers online. And then we do about 120 on-base seminars a year with service members. And that's a two-day workshop where we go through the same program we do with any service member. It's just in person. And we focus very little on an actual class portion. So it's a 15 to 20-minute PowerPoint. The rest of the day is actually one instructor sits down at a table like this with 3 or 4 service members, and line by line will build their resume from scratch because they've never done it before.
Right.
Then they'll sit down, we'll do practice interviews. Then we'll get on a computer, we'll build their LinkedIn site from scratch. Then we'll start searching for jobs in the geographic areas they want to move to because it's just a skill they've never done before. Mm-hmm. They've got around $300,000 on average of government invested dollars in their skill sets and training. So they've got a ton of skills that corporate America or any employer would want. They just need to know what that is, how it translates, how to communicate it, and then where to go find the jobs.
So you can see as we're building our solutions through My Advocate Center and the Advocate Partnership, why I wanted to understand more about what these guys do, because we're raising funds to put more people to work with these kinds of backgrounds. So especially where we have honor, courage, you know, valor, you know, tough-minded, sharp guys who want to stand up and protect our citizens. So selfishly, that's my agenda. I wanted to know more about what you guys do. That's a selfless agenda.
So you just don't have to use the word selfish at all. Please keep that agenda.
So, that's my favorite agenda. So it, James, you know what? I realized I went backwards with Brian. So Brian, I'm going to go back and read your bio. And we have Brandon Charters. Thank you, Rich. Brandon, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hey Brandon. Deb. So this is Brandon with Rally Point, and you're out in California, so thanks for calling in. And why don't you, if you can give us a quick introduction, and then we'll circle back around.
Sure, Deb. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm going to talk to you about Rally Point today. Many folks in the military and veteran community may have heard of us, but we're a quickly growing network community and the largest online military community out there for service members and veterans. For all kinds of different resources. So about 700,000 members that are currently on the platform now. We're going to be growing at a pace to reach a million members this year. We're really excited about it. We've got 10,000 global locations with members. We've got 11,000 employers represented by veterans on the platform. And we've also got 12,000 military units that members are connecting to folks that they serve with on active duty. And then they're also connecting in the way to start the conversation and that direct military to veteran networking opportunity early on as they're getting ready for that transition. So that, like me transitioning out of the Air Force, I waited a little bit too long to get out there on professional networking platforms. And so you're now connected to a great network of both active duty and veteran community members, and we're just seeing a lot of great support from all kinds of different issues there. As you can imagine, with a growing community like that, everything that is very unique to the military career and to the lifestyle of military members, we're seeing support in that respect. So nothing tighter than the military family. I think everybody here today gets that, and so we're here to continue to support that with the networking of a really quickly growing community.
That's fantastic. I've noticed you guys do such a good job online, and what I really admire about the military and veteran community is that you acknowledge each other and you lift each other up, regardless of whether you're in a competitive role or you have absolutely nothing to do with each other. You may be in a completely different region. You show respect and you acknowledge that everyone's doing something unique and important and valuable. And so hats off to you and thank you for your service as well. So would anybody like to, at this point, maybe make a statement about Memorial Day and what it means to you? Because I think this is something that people tend to gloss over sometimes with all the cool, there's a lot of cool pictures which convey a very important message and different messages, but there's a lot of it's a holiday and people do what they do on holidays, but we need to hear from you guys what today means to you. Jerry, I see that look on your face. Would you like to share?
It's just, my problem with it is just that, in general, it's just a day that a lot of people think the pool's open and the summer begins. And that's wonderful for mainstream America, because mainstream America doesn't really appreciate what happened past, the fact that there was a really cool movie made or a series of movies called Band of Brothers that was made. They don't really quite get what went on. And that's okay, because, they rest under the blanket that we provided for them, and I'm okay with that. I don't necessarily need a pat on the back every time I walk down the street. But that's the way that we roll. I didn't get into the military to be patted on the back every time that I do something. I didn't get into this stuff for veterans to get patted on the back every time that I do something. This question gets raised every time that I'm in a group of veterans, whether or not we need a pat on the back, Memorial Day and Veteran Day and all the rest of that. But I don't necessarily need that. It's a question that gets posed to us every time that we're out. If you know about it, be about it. And if you don't, whatever, I guess. I know that everybody doesn't share my opinion, but it is what it is to me.
Yeah. How about you, Brandon?
Sure. I'm actually going to go visit my father's resting place later today. So this is a really special day for me. He's an Air Force veteran. I think of those guys that didn't come back. I just remember them being in a military family, growing up as an Air Force brat. It's ingrained in you to understand the importance of today. And that it's a very different day than Veterans Day. Folks will come up to you and wish you a happy Memorial Day. But I think many of us that are on here today realize that it's remembering those that didn't make it back. And as long as we have that appreciation with each other and that brotherhood and sisterhood of serving, I think that's really what today's about. So I'm just honored to be here and to share everything with you all today.
Yeah, thank you.
Debbie, I think the country's gotten a lot better at this, in my opinion. I think the Vietnam era veterans had horrible transitioning services. They got out there. There was very little support, and a lot of it came because of the lack of public support. Right. they were looked at differently, and that was a drafted military. Mm-hmm. They were forced to go in. They didn't even volunteer, and so it's really unfortunate. But now, I look at my Twitter feed, I look at the news, and I see a lot of good homage to be paid. And for those families, mm-hmm. and the people that are barbecuing and look at it as a kickoff to summer, And that kind of ignorance or indifference, that's fine. I take it as a compliment. It shows you how great the American military is. that in this country, you can be ignorant to those sacrifices because nobody, we don't have problems necessarily here in terms of foreign militaries invading our territory. If you look at the global climate and the situation going on right now in the Middle East, in Northern Africa, there are plenty of places where you can live where it is a problem. I mean, I was just in the Philippines 2 weeks ago, and there is still massive terrorism in the Philippines where there are legitimate problems. In America, we don't have to worry about that. And it was Walter Payton who said, you know, when you're good at something, you tell everybody. When you're great at something, they tell you about it. And in terms of service members and veterans, we don't need to go pounding our chests. We don't need to look for pats in the backs. Not what you did it for. And so I love the fact that Americans go out and they barbecue today and they do the things that we do here in America and enjoy themselves in this weekend. I hope that they pause for a second to tell their kids what Memorial Day is all about. But even if they don't, I take their ignorance as a compliment because it showcases how great the American military is.
And you see, that's why I'm a fan of Brian Stan, because he's much more eloquent than I am. He said what I meant. He just said it a lot better than I did.
You know, it takes all of us, you know, and there's all different flavors and, you know, of advocacy. So, you know, when I was reaching out to you guys in email, I said, you know, I'm calling this advocacy in motion because this isn't something we do standing still, right? It's something that evolves every day. And if there's something going on, if there's a need in the community that you don't handle, you can hand it off to somebody else, right? We pass the baton to each other until we serve everyone who needs to be served, including the children, including, you know, the parents whose, you know, son or daughter didn't come home. You know, these are all people who deserve our support. So, James?
Yeah, well, very eloquently said, you know, and I think, you know, my dad was in the Navy. He actually volunteered Vietnam era to go into the Navy. And, you know, my grandfather was he was in Korea and was a volunteer. And so it was drummed in my head from a very early age. And drummed it in my kid's head how important the military is. But, and I think you're right, I think as a country we've gotten much better at that. We still got a long way to go. But part of it does come from the military does such a good job. It's not a threat that a lot of people even perceive. So therefore they're not worried about it. Therefore they don't appreciate it and respect it maybe the way they should. It's just taken for granted.
Certainly. And I think, you know, two of the areas where we could get a lot better, and I bring this up because you guys, I know it's there's a big Sciences Buckhead Business Radio. I think there's a lot of businesses that don't take advantage of this demographic. This is a highly skilled, highly talented demographic. Hire Heroes USA, for example, when I took it over, it was a $150,000 a year nonprofit. That $150K came all from one company that helped found it. So what did I do? I had three employees. I started hiring a whole bunch of transition military, men and women that were going to help their own demographic go find work. Because of their hard work, their skills, their leadership, their intangibles, and the fact that if they don't know something, they'll go look it up. They'll find out. They continue to grow and improve. You know, we've grown to where I'm over 60 employees. I'm in seven locations nationwide, and we're helping massive amounts of service members and spouses every single day to find work and find and go live that American dream when they get out of the military. I think other businesses should be taking advantage of
that.
That's
right.
When they talk, when we talk about advocacy, you know, we don't need handouts. Just give them a chance. They don't have your typical resume. They didn't go to your typical college. They didn't go to your typical course. But they've got a tremendous skill set in people management and can-do attitudes. If you take someone with a great attitude, you can teach them to do anything. But if you take someone who's very skilled in one technical area and they've got a so-so attitude,
right,
may not be that good of an employee in the long run. The other piece that people need to understand, because it's been a problem lately, there's a lot of people who like to see the downsizing of the military. Hey, we could cut costs here. I've heard people legitimately tell me, and they're smart people, we don't even have a need for a Navy. These are people who don't get out much. Right. I travel internationally all the time. I'm headed to Brazil this Wednesday. I was in the Philippines 2 weeks ago. I've been all over, and I am all over. People need to realize the forward projected large American military, when they're not fighting battles, they stop a whole lot of bad things. And we have our own problems internal to this country. I understand that, and I admit those. But having a forward-projected military is a very strong thing in this world. When you look at the ideological fight between the Middle East and people like ISIS and fundamental Islam, versus Western culture. That's a problem. And the larger our military is, the more we can stop problems before they start just by being there.
No doubt about it. And let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio with your host James O'Brien and Deb Beecham. And Deb, got special guests here today, Memorial Day. And, you know, I think it is different than Veterans Day. You know, I equate it to kind of the difference between Christmas and Easter. Veterans Day is more of a celebration. This is more of a somber event and remembering what people have done for this country.
Yes.
And so we want to thank our guests for being in here. And if you want to start going around the room again, and let's get a little more in depth into what each of these guys are doing. And the reaching out to the kids and making sure that they're still having a well-rounded life while mom or dad or both, in some cases, are off serving this country is hugely important.
Yes, it is. And, you know, those kids are our future. And, you know, their moms and dads are out there fighting for this country and everything that this country represents. And those kids are back home. They don't have a mom or dad just to do those simple things, you know. And like you said, it might have been funding for softball. It might have been the sheer fact that, hey, dad or mom's deployed, all the kids fall into the other spouse's hands, mm-hmm. and it's just too much.
Yeah, transportation, logistics, just having, you know, and single parents can relate to that, you know, and people who travel for a living can relate to it to a degree, but you're talking about people who are gone for, this isn't a week gone on a business trip to California. You're gone for months and months and months, years at a time in some cases, where, you know, and that's asking a lot, not only of the servicemen and women, but of their families as well. And a lot of times, maybe we don't appreciate that the way we should, the sacrifice being made back at home by these families that are giving up their loved ones to go defend this country.
Right. And when I got the idea to start Vets for Kids, I was taking my 6-year-old son and another little boy who had never been camping before, taking them camping up in the North Georgia mountains. And the second day we were there, this other little boy just looked up at me with the most loving little eyes, because we were roasting marshmallows for s'mores. And he said, "This is the best day of my life." And that right there, I wanted to create more best days of kids' lives. And as a soldier and as anybody in the military joins for, they join to make a difference. And as a military, it's kind of hard to see that difference that you make because you're such a part of a big thing.
Thank you for doing that.
And if we can come back and change a difference in some kids' lives and get together, a group of veterans, and just help out, that's what we're all about.
That's fantastic. I have goosebumps. I can picture that little kid, and it's so, and you thank you for what you're doing.
It helps the kids understand what mommy and daddy are doing too. So if mommy and daddy are deployed and these other veterans take them out on this trip, it's hard. Sometimes they're at difficult ages where they resent their parents for leaving. Sometimes they wonder, hey, how come my daddy's gone for so long? How come my mommy's gone for so long? And now you've got this group of veterans mm-hmm. that are taking them out on this special trip, but that are able to explain that. And maybe they can vent a little bit and then realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, I shouldn't resent mommy and daddy. I should be proud. They'll be home soon, and they're going to be on this camping trip with me soon. But, you know, while they're gone, these men and women are helping me out. So I think that's another, you know, big value you're bringing to these kids.
Exactly. And, you know, with this program and our partners at Bernal, we're going to develop some programs not just for veterans, but also for kids. Because I know some veterans personally that their kids, they're retired from the military, and their kids are still have anxiety issues when they leave to go to the grocery store because of, you know, past deployments. And nobody's really getting into the effects that it has on these children. And hopefully we can make a difference in that.
Sounds like you are. So thank you. And how about you, Jerry? Do you guys have an event coming up?
Which one would that be?
What do you do? Do you do something on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. We had just last Friday, we let me back this up. I'm sorry. You caught me off guard.
Yeah.
We do a 22 is too many rally every 22nd of the month. We had one this past Friday. Chris was there in attendance. He comes up with us every month. Basically, we go out and raise awareness of veteran suicide. That's one of our hot button topics, obviously. Veteran suicides are pretty insane. The fact that veterans come home and get out of the military, especially the National Guard and the Reserves, and they tend to lose that sense of purpose, that sense of self-worth when they get home. You know, a lot of people will attribute it to PTSD or traumatic brain injury or their injuries and stuff like that. But here recently, studies have shown that it's more losing that sense of purpose, that sense of self-worth, and that sense of connection that they have with their military units that causes veterans to feel useless. We're showing now more than ever, Vietnam vets are starting to commit suicide, and people are wondering why the rates of Vietnam vets are going up so high. Is because it's about time for them to retire. You know, they came back and they faced their demons and they went on with their lives. They got the jobs and they went out and they made a life for their family and all the rest of that. But they've gotten to retirement age now and they're sitting back and they're finding that they have nothing to do. They've lost that sense of purpose. They've lost that sense of connection. They don't have anything else going on and they're feeling a little bit useless. And that's why the numbers of the Vietnam vets are going up. We've lost more Vietnam vets to suicide in the last 5 years than we lost in the entire Vietnam War.
Wow.
So veteran suicide is just an amazing thing that that the VA has that the government has committed more money to through the Clay Hunt Act. They've committed billions of dollars to retrofit the VA with psychiatrists and programs and retrofit the DOD with psychiatrists and programs. But the money and all the rest of that is wonderful. But until they put the programs in place and they start to realize what the actual problems are, it's not PTSD and it's not traumatic brain injury and it's not any mystery disease that we picked up through Agent Orange or through, you know, chemical exposures in the desert, that it's just a sense of purpose and a sense of camaraderie that is missing in the lifestyle. You know, it's always new information and it's always things that, you know, kind of get overlooked. So what we need to do as a veteran community is try and raise awareness in the public, because when the public starts to know, the public will start to demand that some of these things be done for veterans, because the public is the key. You know, the veterans only make up 7% of society. So without the public's backing, you know, we're not going to get very far.
Right. And one of the things that we wanted to ask you about was your Women's Veteran Shelter project.
Thank you.
And, you know, a lot of times I think people just, you know, traditionally it's more men involved. And a lot of times we forget about the number of women who serve this country and sacrifice as well. So tell us a little bit about what you've got going on there.
Well, what we have is we have nothing right now in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
We don't have a women's shelter, a women veteran shelter in the state of Georgia. What we have in the state of Georgia are women's shelters, battered women's shelters, regular women's shelters. We only have two women's shelters in the state of Georgia right now that I know of that are called My Sister's Place. And they're small residential housing units for women that need a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
They only have a few beds per shelter. And then the other shelters that are in Georgia right now that we know of are battered women's shelters.
Right.
Women veterans suffering from issues like PTSD and the other anxiety issues that plague most veterans don't need the added stress of having somebody's husband, lover, boyfriend come in trying to kick the door down to get them back because they've had some kind of crazy mm-hmm. issue in their marriage. You know, that's added stress along with the fact that they've got monetary issues or whatever it was that led them to being homeless at the time. You know, like Brian's organization does, I mean, lots of people have financial issues and wind up homeless for a myriad reasons. We need a place in Georgia that's dedicated to veteran women so that when they hit hard times, they have a place that they know that they can go, where they'll be safe, where they'll be surrounded by veterans, and they will feel confident that they can make it on their own at a certain point and be safe in the process, surrounded by people that they can feel safe with instead of having to be in a community where, you know, there are all kinds of problems
right.
outside the veteran community, where they can also be helped by veterans through different programs that are veteran friendly to get themselves back on their feet. We're trying to do this in Gainesville because for whatever reason, Gainesville is the county seat of Hall County, has every federal building and every federal institution that we need up there, just like we have in Atlanta, mm-hmm. to get veterans back on their feet. We have the Department of Labor, Department of Transportation, and every other program up there that we need to get veterans back on their feet and back moving, and then they can go anywhere in Georgia that they'd like to and reestablish themselves once they've gotten back on their feet. We have the land. We have the opportunity. Right now, all we need is the money to get it moving. We've got some programs set up to try, and we're trying for some grants and things like that. You know, as soon as we get the money together, it's just a matter of doing it. But it's something that needs to happen. There is a homeless veteran shelter in Winder, Georgia, which is in Barrow County, just outside of Gwinnett County. But they only house men. And that's a long story. I know the people there, and they're very good people. But the problem was is that it was a regular shelter before it was a veteran shelter. And they were housing men and women that were homeless. And they were creating little homeless babies. And that became an issue.
Right.
So...
Well, so. And I think people listening, the reality is when you dedicate your life to being in the service, it is a different mindset. It's different problems that you guys face. So being able to bring veterans together to support each other, it's like anything else. If I've been through it, I understand it more. You don't have to give me the full rundown. You don't have to explain every single detail of why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, because I was there. I understand. There's just a different level of understanding when you can draw people with, whether it's veterans or anything else, the same experiences together. They can just support each other in a different way.
I think at a certain point, now, I mean, there's going to be people that have different personalities and things like that, but I think at a certain point that when you get veterans in the same room and you get to talking, as long as there's not a just complete personality conflict, I think that veterans can just see each other on a certain level where they just kind of, they hit on that level and they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shoot, move, communicate. And that's just where you draw the line. As long as you haven't fallen to a point where you just refuse to do the work, any veteran is willing to help any other veteran move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that you learned through your service. I mean, it was drilled into your basic training. You had to help all of your teammates. You had to help all of your teammates when you were in combat. And even if you weren't in combat, you know, I mean, any exercise that you ever went through, combat or not, you had to help your teammates. You know, I mean, you couldn't get through any single barracks inspection without somebody pulling their weight. You know, if you never did a single day in combat, you know, you couldn't get through a random inspection in any area. You know, your TO&E inspections, your motor pool inspections. If everybody didn't pull their weight, everybody got greased for it, man. I mean, you know, everybody got smoked at the end of the day.
Right. Well, let me remind our listeners, you are listening to Pro Advocate Radio with your host James O'Brien and Deb Beecham, and our special guests in here for Memorial Day. And we're going to bring Brian back in. Brian, one of the things that really stood out to me when you were talking about your mission is it's not just finding veterans any job. It's finding them a job that fits them where they can provide for their family.
That's exactly right. You know, and there's a lot of opportunities that get advertised out there by major corporations. Well, hey, we're going to hire 100,000 veterans. The issue there is in many cases, these are hourly paid jobs. And like many Americans, you just can't sustain a family off it. And these are men and women who, like I said earlier, have hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer dollars invested in their training. They've got leadership training. They've got all kinds of different skills. But the biggest problem we face is our own inability to communicate those skills. We speak a different language in the military. And so as you transition out, if you walk into a job interview blindly or you do your own first resume, I mean, my personal first resume as a captain of the Marine Corps getting out, I probably would have gotten a job as either a mercenary or someone in the CIA. And again, I went to a great institution. I just didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know how to do it. And so you think about that. I was 28 years old with a great college education. Now you take a 22 or 24-year-old sergeant in the Marine Corps of the Army who didn't have that same education, and it's even more difficult for them. And they don't have as big a network. They didn't graduate from a school that has an alumni. So these are all the things they need help in. And all the different problems that we've talked about so far on the radio show, guess what? They all go away when a service member gets out, finds a meaningful job, has a team of people depending on them, people they can depend on too, and they've got a place in society. It all goes away. They don't have post-traumatic stress. They don't kill themselves. They don't have financial problems because they could pay the bills. It really all starts with that transition outside of the military. If they can transition effectively, and it's on us. We can't depend on anybody else to help us, which is why we all exist, you know, because that's the reality of it. You can hope that someone's going to help you, right? But you know what they say about hope, right? You can fill it in one hand, something else in the other.
Right.
I mean, so it's important that we take a hold of our own transition. We can depend on each other. We can depend on ourselves. And we can't play the victim card. You know, if you're going to get out of the military, there are plenty of organizations, obviously Hire Heroes USA being the best of them, that can help you with that transition to find a meaningful career. If you need help in other areas, there are institutions that are set up for you to do that, and you need to take hold of it. You can't wait for someone to find you, or else you can get lost in the mess, and you could become one of the 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. And unfortunately, you're going to end up having to move your day to the 23rd, because it's not going down, it's going up. Right. It's drastically close. If it hasn't pushed over the edge to 23 veterans a day commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And so people also need to understand this, right? We don't like to admit this in America. Who enlists in the military? And so I do a lot of speeches. And so when I'm at these big companies where you get a lot of people that make good money, I'll see this sea of people that are listening to me speak. And I'll say, okay, I want everybody in this room to raise their hand who knows someone or themselves that had a son or daughter that enlisted in the military, and the combined income of that household was north of $120,000 a year. And now $120,000 a year is not wealthy, right?
Right.
It's not. I still have yet to see one hand raised.
Wow.
Our rich kids don't enlist in the military and go to war.
Right.
They don't. People don't like to talk about this. It's our poor kids. It's our kids from rural Georgia and our kids from downtown Atlanta who end up going to the recruiter's office. And they go in and they enlist in war. And so when they come out, their family and home networks have never been very, very successful in the civilian market. They don't know. They don't have a large network. They weren't born, you know, on third base.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are hardworking, you know, American kids who it's a little bit more difficult for them when they come out and they get into this totally new environment.
Right. Well, and the thing is, I think as an employer, because I ran a business for years, you know the things like hardworking, they're going to show up every day, you're not going to have discipline issues. I think the key is, as an employer, I might not understand how the skills they got and worked hard to develop in the military translate best to my business, and that's where you guys come in.
Certainly, and you know that's the thing. Everybody always talks about the intangible skills, right? You could look across, and you could look at these two gentlemen and say, "Oh man, I know they're like, look, they have honor, they have courage, they have integrity, they're going to show up on time." Everybody knows that. What people don't understand is that at 20 years old, you could be a squad leader in charge of 13 people, running your own missions in combat. Very, very often this is the case. It's our young, in wars like Iraq and Afghanistan and the battles that we've been in, it's our young men and women that are the leaders. Now, when they are the leaders, it doesn't just mean that they're saying, come follow me. They're accountable for millions of dollars of equipment, not just accountable to know where it is, but to maintain it, to track all the maintenance records of it and make sure that it gets fixed, right? The operations of it. They're also in charge of the planning purposes. Hey, here's how we plan our mission. Here's how we're going to conduct it. And then making all those processes more efficient. And how do those processes cost less money and cost less time? So that's all lean operating procedures that in the business world, people are like, wow, I like that. We're always trying to be Lean Six Sigma.
Right.
In the military, we've been this whole Lean Six Sigma thing. We've been doing that for centuries now.
Right.
And the other piece is the managing of people. In the civilian world, I have noticed we have a hard time doing that. People don't want to do an evaluation and tell somebody something they don't want to hear. Tell them, hey, you need to get better at this area. We love to fluff them up and then fire them 3 months later for something we never told them about, right?
Right, exactly.
In the military, our men and women are great. It's, hey, Tom, here's your evaluation. Here's where I scored you. You are excellent at these areas. In this area here, I need you to improve. And here's the plan for you to improve. We're going to do this class. I'm going to work with you on this. I'm going to work with you on that. They don't get to choose their teams. They're given their teams.
Right.
So they have to make them better and not like the civilian world get to pick and choose who they want. These are skills that besides all the stuff everybody already knows about, a business owner like you could say, wait a minute, wow. This is definitely the guy I want to manage my shop. I didn't realize that these young men and women had that kind of experience at that young of an age.
Right. Well, and we want to bring Brandon with Rally Point back in here. And Brandon, why do veterans reach out to Rally Point? Get us back to the mission there. Okay, maybe we will have to try and come back to Brandon again in a minute.
I'll answer that question for him.
Here's, go right ahead, fellas.
So it's interesting. When you graduate from college, what's one of the first things you do? You activate what? Your alumni network, right? Hey, I'm going to go find every University of Georgia graduate. I'm going to send them my resume. And UGA grads like to hire UGA grads, right? They like to talk about the fraternities they went to. As veterans, we don't do that. We're silly. I mean, if you live in North Georgia, you now have this huge alumni network with Jerry and his team, right? Huge. Do we activate it? No. I came from the Marine Corps. We've got one of the greatest alumni networks in the world. All service members do, and that's why people are forming these groups and they're connecting with them. If they live in North Georgia, they're finding these guys. 22nd every month, they may be there to advocate for suicide of service members, but how many people stop by when you're doing those and stop and say, hey, I need work, or hey, you know what, man, I'm going to link up with you guys. I've been looking for something to get involved with, and it just, you know, it solves a lot of other problems. And so I think that's the reason why these networks exist, because we sometimes don't realize as service members that we've got one of the greatest alumni networks in the world, where these other college kids, they take advantage of it very well.
Right. Well, and what I guess one of the questions, people are familiar with groups like the American Legion and groups like that. What role do they play in trying to help service men and women coming back, or, you know, where are they stepping in helping out with this?
The American Legion is a wonderful organization, and they do have a lot of roles, and they do fulfill a lot of need in the community. The problem with the American Legion and the VFW and the Vietnam vets and stuff like that is that as veterans get younger, these organizations tend to have their more traditional roles. In order to become leadership and in order to become and change some of those rules and ways, the younger veterans aren't really seeing any anything that's familiar to them.
Right.
They're not seeing anything in those older organizations that they really want to be a part of. It's nice to go in there and listen to some of the older vets talk and some of the rest of that, but they don't really see wanting to come there Tuesday night for steak and Friday night for coffee and Sunday night for bingo and just hang out like that. You know, I mean, they'd rather do something that more fits them, you know, coming in on a Thursday and a Friday to go to see, you know, to see the old POW camp or something like that. You know, it's an older thing. And if they don't kind of step it up a little bit, you know, they're going to start to fall off. And every American Legion and VFW that I've been to, their biggest complaint is that their membership is getting older and older and older, and that they can't recruit younger members.
Right.
And but they refuse to do anything any different either, because the minute that you start to talk to them, they say, nah, we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to have a rock and roll band at our barbecue this summer. Right. You know, nah, we'll stick with, you know, Benny and the banjo.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know,
Benny and the banjo.
All right, guys, but that's the reason that we're having a problem with your membership, you know, is that you're not doing anything any different, and, you know, unfortunately, you're not drawing any new members towards your organization.
Right. So, well, that was my dad was actually commander for one of the posts and served on a state level, and that was one of the things that he always ran into is the rigidity of, you know, these other guys in their 60s, 70s, they've been doing it this way for years. Why do we need to change it? Well, we need to change it because – we're not drawing in the guy who just got back from Afghanistan.
Right.
We're not drawing in the guy who served in the Gulf Wars. Those guys aren't coming. Why? And I think it's, you know, it's something they want to do. I think they just need a little more direction in how to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And some of it's just in their advertising and marketing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not marketing to each other anymore. You're marketing to a younger demographic. You need to pitch this thing. This is like our country club. Right here in Georgia, we have these beautiful neighborhoods. It's cheaper to live here, but that's your club where you can go. You bring your family, not just you. You can bring your whole family, and you can barbecue on the weekends and meet a whole bunch of people and network with other service members in that area. And in many cases, these older gentlemen who hang out the American Legions and the VFWs, guess what? They're business owners, business executives. They got a lot of contacts. So for you younger service members that are either unemployed or underemployed, could be a very good networking opportunity for you. But these institutions have to maintain their relevancy in today's society by reaching out to younger members, making it more fun and more opportunistic for them to show up, not just alone, but they want to bring their wife and kids to these events.
See, that's one of the other problems, though, too. We have a lot more female veterans. And the biggest thing that I hear from everyone is that I'm a female vet and I can't go to the VFW. I have to be the auxiliary. Wait a minute. You know, yep. I took shrapnel.
Right.
Why can't I be VFW? I've got to be auxiliary. You know,
yeah, I led men in my unit. Saying, and you're telling me I can't. Exactly.
And we've got some great. They're going to have to step up and change some of their outlook or something, or they're just not going to survive the way that they used to. And they're very good organizations. Yeah. And if nothing else, they've got a ton of pull in Congress and lobbying, yeah, and all the rest of that. And they've had it for years. And we need those organizations doing what they've been doing because they're perfect at what they do. It's just that they're just too rigid. And if they don't, they're going to fall by the wayside. And then we lose all that we've had with those,
right,
guys. And that would be a real shame too, because those guys do have a lot of say, you know, in what happens right now. And, I mean, like I said, I've been to a lot of American Legion and VFW meetings in the last 4 or 5 years. And, man, I'm telling you, man, those guys, you know, I'm a young guy to them. And, shit, I'm almost 50. So,
right,
you know, that's not saying anything.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Let me remind our listeners, you are listening to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beacham, founder and director of My Advocate Center. And we are having a wonderful discussion with some very valuable assets that this country's has, and that is our military folks, current and past, and talking about different ways that they reach out and can help each other. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is it's making people aware of the help that's out there.
You know, when you just said that, the help that's out there, in the work that we do in serving families and helping families reduce conflict or extract themselves from difficult situations in the court system, I came across, and I don't think I've shared this with you guys yet, but I came across a number of military parents, you know, parents who are veterans, who went into a legal battle not realizing that they had access to the veterans court, or that there were services they could have gotten to help guide them through this mess. And some of them, good parents, one in particular lost her child because of her service. They actually, on the record, used her service in the Army as the reason to switch custody. But what happened is both parents were in the military, and this really wasn't a mother versus father story. This was a mother versus grandparents who did not want their granddaughter traveling with their mother in the Army. And that's what we do when we're military brats. We travel with our families, right? You know, unless there's extreme circumstances. So there was no reason for this mother not to have her child with her as she had traditionally. So they used her service against her, and then they brought her, kind of forced her into court in Georgia and said that they were going to give the grant. They actually terminated her parental rights without due process and did it in the wrong jurisdiction. And when I saw that, I'm so offended that things are happening to any of us that shouldn't be happening, where our civil rights are denied, parenting rights seem to not mean anything. But when this happens to someone who served their country and made those kinds of sacrifices, it's a whole other level of frustration for me to see this happening. But now we have, you know, over a dozen families who are, you know, these are just the ones that I know of, who are really trying to find where the resources are for them as veterans. So it just added to my mission that I wanted to see that these people know where to go to get help. So that is kind of what brought the idea of bringing you in here. And then the more I got to know about what you all do, I realized we need to do this on a regular basis. People need to know how they can connect with you to get help. And those of us who may not need your services, we need to know how we can do more with what we have.
Yes,
well, I know when I decided to start a nonprofit that it wasn't just about Vets for Kids, because like you're saying, there's a lot of situations out there that people find themselves in and they don't know that there's help available. I know from my standpoint, I'm not just trying to make Vets for Kids, you know, a national thing. I'm trying to start a movement. You know, the stuff that I'm doing, the stuff that Jerry's doing, the stuff Brian's doing, it's all wonderful things. And if we can all get behind each other and get this information out there, you know, we're going to reach more lives.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
That's what it's all about.
The movement and paying it forward. And, you know, I'm sure, is there a military term that's the equivalent of paying it forward or leaving no one behind?
They throw that one around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it has to do with selfless service.
Well, you know, and
selfless service.
And I think a big part of it is educating the non-military public to the needs, because there's resources out there. Like I said, when the softball league realized what was going on, they were very willing to step up and make sure that those kids, and we reached out to other kids in the community. But it's the lack of knowledge. We didn't realize until we're a year, 6 months, a year and a half into this process, why some of these kids were not showing up. And had we known, we could have been more proactive. And I think that's a big, huge part of it, is not only letting the military folks know where they can go to get the help, but allowing the civilian population to know what the needs are, what services you guys offer, so that we can step up and help out, even though we're not military.
Yeah, it's getting the community involved is definitely key to all this.
Have you looked at corporate sponsorships, Chris?
Yeah, we have. We're
It's a job, isn't it?
Still working on that.
So I'm gonna put a plug out there that if anybody is looking for a family friendly, military oriented nonprofit to sponsor, I'd recommend you're Chris Dorsey, but Vets for Kids in your area. I think it's
Chris could use money too.
Great what you're doing.
You haven't seen his shoes.
Okay. All right. So on the flip side, I'm not raising money for Rally Point because they're doing a great job. They're a for-profit entity. But Brandon, I hear that you're back on.
In theory, he's here.
I think
he's experiencing a tape delay. So,
okay.
Brandon, go ahead and jump in. Okay, we confirmed via text that he was listening and hearing everything. So we may have him try to just call back in again.
Did I read Brandon's profile yet?
His background? Why don't you run through that real quick?
Okay, so... actually, I think I did. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran of 5 years. So what I know of Rally Point is that nobody is doing what they're doing and doing it so successfully that it makes it very easy for people in all branches to connect with each other and get guidance and support. So it's really an online community, and we'll have Brandon back on.
I'm actually a member of Rally Point.
Okay, great. Well, can you tell me your experience?
Yeah. What it boils down, I mean, I do a lot of those silly things because, to be quite honest, I'm a lot older than my two counterparts here. My military experience was all back in the 80s and 90s. So due to my other myriad issues, I can't remember anything. So a lot of the guys that I served with, I don't remember. And we, you know, thank goodness for Facebook, because if it weren't for Facebook, I wouldn't remember any of these guys. So they do have a Facebook page for the 5th Engineer Battalion, which is who I served in Desert Storm with, and I've reconnected with a lot of those guys there. But a lot of the guys that I served with, some of them that were my, like, very close friends, some of my platoon mates and stuff like that, aren't on Facebook, and I can't find them. So I've gone through every source that I can to include Rally Point, put my name out there, put my information out there and stuff, so that maybe if they can find me, I can find them. Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple of them in particular who I was very good friends with, who I lost touch with after I went to Germany and haven't seen since or heard from since. But I am a member of Rally Point. Rally Point is a very good organization. I mean, I'm not real familiar with what they do boots on the ground wise, but as far as, you know, connecting with other veterans and being able to, you know, get your word out there, you put a profile together and then you can search for your friends, you can search, you can have them search for you. It's basically, you have a profile out there, a lot like LinkedIn. And once your profile is out there, people can search for you by name. They can search for you by community. They can search for you by previous job. They can search for you by unit. I mean, basically it's a database like any other, where all of your information is out there, your units that you were in, you know, the time periods that you were in, you know, battles that you were in. And you can search that way, you know, with all the information that you have in order to find your battle buddies and get some stuff done. And, you know, I mean, it's been helpful. I haven't found any of my guys yet, but then again, right, too, it figures that if I haven't found them in 20 years, they're probably just not trying to be found. So,
That's awesome. That's a great testimonial. And I know we can't hear Brandon, so we'll have Brandon back in, but that helps a lot. And we'll make sure that we have all of this information on our website and people know how to get in touch with all of you. But Rally Point, from what I've seen, is very functional, easy to use, great tutorials. So I was very impressed and glad to have them on.
Well, and guys, let's go back around the room and give out all your contact information for so that those listening can get a hold of you, or, you know, whether they need your service or they just want to help out with what your mission is. And Chris Dorsey, we'll start with you.
You can check our website out at betsforkids.com. It's up and going. It's always a work in progress there. But we put most of our stuff on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/betsforkids. And then we're on Twitter at Vets for Kids.
Yeah, Vets number four. Vets number four kids.com.
Right. And you can also email me personally at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at betsforkids.com.
Jerry?
I'm with the North Georgia Veterans Outreach Center. You can see our website at www.ngvoc.org. North Georgia Veterans Outreach Center.org. If you need any information, you can contact us at info@ngvoc.org. The phone number for the office is 678-943-2046, and you can talk to anybody there. Again, we do anything that a veteran needs. I mean, if you know a veteran that needs help, and I don't care what it is, raking leaves or resume writing or interviewing skills or just getting in touch with Brian or Chris or any other government program, to include food stamps, Social Security, any issue that a veteran needs help with in North Georgia or across the country, if we can help you from North Georgia, please give us a call. We won't say no. We'll try and hook you up in your area with the help that you need if you're in North Georgia. Even if you need help in California, we'll try and find the information for you best we can. That doesn't mean don't try yourself, but please, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we will help you the best we can.
Well, a lot of times it's about understanding how these groups work. I know that's one of the things my dad would do with the VA was, you know, there was always that automatic, they'll turn you down, and a lot of guys would give up.
Yeah.
Where if you just reapply, it's understanding how the process works.
Exactly.
And being able to work through that. Brian?
Sure. You can contact us at hireheroesusa.org, and that's H-I-R-E for hire. Our Twitter is at Hire Heroes USA, and in fact, if you want to go to our website, we've got an event downtown Atlanta at Deloitte at their office here in Atlanta on June 5th, and it's going to be an employment workshop with a lot of their partners. Deloitte is one of the very best consulting companies in the world. There will be some amazing professionals plus my staff there to help the service members who register, and we're talking about high-level employment workshop where you're going to walk out with some very tangible products and relationships that will last throughout your entire job search. But our registration opens up every Monday. You get assigned to one person who we will track every service that one person provides for you. Everything we do is tracked in a one-on-one fashion through Salesforce. We are probably the most detailed nonprofit organization in the veteran community space that I know of. But we help over 150 every week. So if you're someone out there who needs help, go to that website, register on Monday. If you're an employer, go to that website, and we have a tab for you as well, and we can get you on our job board so you can connect with the service members that we're trying to help.
Incredible. And I'm going to read Rally Point is rallypoint.com, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/rallypoint, and Twitter at Rally Point. So we'll have Brandon and Rally Point back on another show, and we're going to keep talking offline and make sure we can do some PSAs, plug events that you guys have, like what you were just saying about Deloitte. That's a great thing for everyone to know. So we'll just keep connecting you all, and we'll schedule another show in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and look forward to getting to know you all better.
Absolutely. And gentlemen, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service. Deb, thank you for putting this show together.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.